Good afternoon. Today is Thursday, September the 19th, 263rd day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon all by himself, couldn't find a friend, so here he is. It's Fred.
Well, thank you. Make me feel lonely.
Well, you know, last couple times you keep bringing in buddies and keep bringing in buddies, and now it's just mano y mano.
Well, you know, I didn't want to bore you too much with just me.
Okay, we'll find out then who's more boring, him or me, when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Fred Van Fleck. But before we do, our quote this afternoon. No, I won't use that one. Comes from Satchel Paige. Most of us remember him. I remember his baseball card. I never saw him play.
Well, I never saw him play
either. Yeah, I know. Okay. Age is a question of mind over matter. If you don't mind, it doesn't matter.
So is that referring to how old you are or how young I am?
Yeah. I was thinking more along the lines of getting the job done, yes, regardless of anything else. Yeah. Nice try, though. Fred, some of the different tests that the kids have to go through, whether it's at the junior high level, whether it's the high school level, whether it's UC prep, ACT, SAT, all of them, alphabet soup. At what point does it start to clarify, or does it ever really clarify for a parent about all the various tests that the kids have to go through, not the ones in the classroom, but all these outside testing devices?
Well, you know, that's an interesting concept. And, you know, the thing that's most interesting to me about that testing concept is how much differently Humboldt County looks at testing as compared to other regions of the state. And that was a big aha for me when I moved up here. And that aha was more of when I was down in the Central Valley after I took my little hiatus from Humboldt County up here. Testing was a front page in the newspaper as soon as it was reported out. And up here in Humboldt County, it's not looked at the same way. And the community seems to be much more into a very diversified, well-rounded education that testing, at least today's testing, doesn't necessarily provide a good report on whether we're providing that type of education or not.
Can you get what most of us would define as a well-rounded education in high school? I mean, I think of all the challenges I'll say we had in college to try to get in all the GE and along with your major stuff and have a couple things that you really kind of had some interest in. Well, high school level, you know, if you're college track, you don't get a whole lot of fun. If you're non-college track, you probably don't get too much fun because you're going into either one of the vocational tracks or the military tracks. There's not a lot of what our folks and before might have had as far as home econ, shop, you know, classes that didn't have a post-high school graduation component associated with it. So when you say well-rounded, are you saying, we don't care? Or are you saying that, you know, perhaps there's something else at work here, or we just don't get how important testing is?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question, and there's a lot of questions actually buried in that question that you just had there, and I'm going to focus on the first part, which is, what is the definition of well-rounded? I would venture to say that everybody has a different definition of well-rounded, as is evident by what students take in high school. I think it's our job to provide the opportunities for students to take things that aren't just interesting, but rather leading to their future. And when I say leading to their future, that could be leading to some sort of vocational, career, technical education type future. It could be leading to a college education. It could be leading to the military. And that really depends on the individual student and their parents on what they want to do. And in my mind, that is a well-rounded education. It's not the same thing for every student. So
offering or education?
I'm offering or educate. Well, I don't know what
could,
you mean
could
by
could I
that
graduate, let's say if I was non-college bound agriculture interest. I was going to work on the family farm, the dairy, okay? So I could take some of the classes, but would I have a well-rounded education? Versus somebody who, okay, you could offer all these things, dandy, but if I don't avail myself of them, what difference does it make?
Well, I think it's important that they're – here's one of the things that goes along with that.
Can the kids get that well-rounded education, still hit the marks they need to graduate?
Yes, okay. They can. The piece, though, that's difficult about that is it depends on how serious of a student they are. Because if a student fails a class and then they have to come back and retake a class, they just took away one of their opportunities to take one of those extra type classes, elective type classes, career technical education type classes, because they have to go back and make up that class that they didn't pass. So in a way, some students are their own worst enemy if they don't take some of the classes they don't like seriously, because it turns into this revolving door where they've got to go back and take it again in summer school or possibly even during the normal school year the following year. So, you know, again, it depends on the student.
For the vocational kid, whether it's going to a CR or whether it's going to a vocational school out of the area, can they avail themselves of some of these classes that would be considered liberal art classes in college? Still hit the numbers they need for high school, still hit the numbers that they need for the vocational school to be able to qualify?
Again, yes, it depends on the kid. I hate to go back to that, but it depends on the kid and what they take. The thing that I think is most important about that, and I want to continue to drive home this point with all of our students, is it's not about graduating high school anymore and going to work on the family farm. There's so few students that'll do that. I will always encourage some sort of post-high school, post-secondary training. And that doesn't mean going to a four-year college. That doesn't mean going to College of the Redwoods. It could mean going to work for an auto dealer and getting their training there.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:19.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. If you've never been to Eureka's Sequoia Park Zoo, or haven't in a long time, you're in for a treat. Eureka is one of the smallest cities in the nation to have a zoo, and quite a zoo it is. It's among the redwood trees and specializes in a variety of small animals. Many exhibits have been updated, with more on the way. A big favorite is the red panda family. If you think of pandas as black and white, big, and chewing on bamboo, think again. Red pandas are small with reddish coats and white faces. Watch them scamper on their trees. The pink flamingo flock will dazzle you as you pass their pond. There are many more zoo pleasures awaiting young and old alike. There's a cafe and gift shop, too. On Wednesdays, all visitors come in at half price. For days and hours, see their website, sequoiaparkzoo.net. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Fred Van Fleck. Fred, the concept of well-rounded education, I don't know where that comes from, frankly, because most of us don't have well-rounded careers or well-rounded lives. We specialize in the things that we want to specialize with, and we ignore the things that we want to ignore. You know, I don't know if you're a baker or not. I love throwing it around in the kitchen.
So do I. How sourdough? You do any sourdough stuff?
I don't. No, I like the sweetbreads, so I have to give them away. and the salsas and some of that kind of stuff. But, you know, we can go through college and have all kinds of classes, experiences that were in the culinary arts. We're going to get excited. Okay, somebody else who, you know, maybe overseas, doesn't even have a kitchen. What a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the concept of well-rounded, or even the concept of liberal arts for me, is kind of a misnomer at best. False advertising probably is where I would put it under, because we all want to specialize in areas of our interest. For me to take chemistry is goofy. And not only that, I'd know I would rebel and would probably get a grade accordingly. So the is the college model that we have, is the high school model that we have, to give kids exposure in areas that they need and that they have personal interest in, does that fit in today's model?
Well, I'd argue yes. And here's a couple things that are interesting. The first thing that's interesting is most students that go to college don't do anything that's within their major field. I'm one of them right here. I was an ag business guy from Cal Poly, and guess what? I'm not doing ag business. I am doing something that I'm very passionate about, and there's been some real interesting research that's been out there lately, and it's by Angela Lee Duxworth, and she's a psychologist, and she's done some research on grit. And what grit talks about is that there is an inverse...
You don't have to clench your teeth when you say grit, by the way. Just, yeah, it's okay.
Well, I'm not John Wayne, you know, so not true grit. But anyways, the grit piece that she talks about is there's actually an inverse relationship between intelligence and success. And that inverse relationship is it doesn't matter how intelligent you are if you don't have the grit to do the job that you wanted, that you're in, or the career that you've chosen, you will not be successful. However, if you're smart enough, you have to be smart enough, and have the grit to perform in the job that you're doing, or perform in the class you're doing, or perform as a student, you'll be extremely successful in that area. So if you step back and think about some of the people around you who have been very successful, I would argue that they've displayed that grit and they've figured out how to get it done, not through sheer intelligence, but just through the drive.
Oh, I thought you were talking about philosophy majors at Stanford.
Well, philosophically speaking.
Okay, so we've got the backdrop of our discussion so far, and then we've got these state tests. State tests that are part and parcel to funding sources. State tests that are required for kids to be able to go on in their education where they want to go on to. We've got the pressures, and I would suggest that most parents up here don't understand what the tests are, and that's why it's no big deal. And frankly, probably most of the media outlets don't understand how these tests fit into the whole big thing, because either you're hearing from one perspective or the other, and you don't see how it fits into the big cog. So these outside tests, ACT, SAT, college placement tests, state standardized tests, all these tests that are out there, how does that fold into this well-rounded liberal education that you're professing that not only the kids need, but that the community is also wanting?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question, because you think about the tests that all of us are familiar with, and most recently have been what is known as the CSTs or the STAR testing, CSTs, California Standards Test. That's how our students have been testing on multiple grade levels. And you think about that for a second, and when's the last time you had a problem here at the station where, you know, this problem came up and all of a sudden it pops in your head, if it's 25, choose A. If it's 30, choose B. We just don't problem solve like that. And that's part of the problem with our standardized testing that's happening in California. And luckily...
I cheat. I use consultants.
So that's C for consultant.
I'm way off the grid, yeah.
So the challenge is to get our children, our next generation, our students thinking much deeper rather than this superficial knowledge level types issues.
Mastering the body of information.
Exactly. Learning how to think for themselves rather than go to a test and reverse think the problem and figure it out based on the answers. So what the new testing will do, which is a smarter balance testing based on the state or the national level, actually Common Core Standards, it will test at a much deeper level and a much higher level of understanding, which will show us whether the students are more prepared to go out in the real world and really problem solve and have a higher mastery of their subject areas.
Does that mean composition responses and interview responses instead of filling the blank with what's the best response?
Well, I'm not even 100% sure what that's going to look like yet. We're just in the infancy of starting that testing. It will be computer-based testing, testing on a computer rather than the old pencil and bubbling in. We did at Grant Elementary School a test pilot of that last spring, and it went very well.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:30.
This is the final weekend to get a free iComfort box spring or $1,000 off any iSeries adjustable foundation at Vern's Furniture. Don't miss this super savings opportunity when you buy any iComfort or iSeries mattress at Vern's. Get a Serta Perfect Sleeper Queen mattress set for just $399 too. But the savings absolutely end after Sunday. Get to Vern's Furniture for the free iComfort box spring offer or the $1,000 discount on an adjustable foundation. Vern's Furniture, 5th and G Streets, downtown Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Fred Van Fleck, Superintendent of Eureka City Schools. Fred, the concept of enrollment is something I think that is, to me, it's as weird as truancy. To me, it's as weird as dropout. At first level, yeah, everybody knows what I'm saying. Okay, we all go one level deep. Okay, kid's in school, he's enrolled. Mm-hmm. If he's not late for class, he's not truant. You graduate. Okay. But then we talk about, okay, the kid that starts as a freshman and transfers out. The kid that starts as a freshman and decides to homeschool. Or vice versa, comes in halfway through the high school career from somewhere else. Okay, oops, now the numbers are a little squirrely. Truancy. Okay, maybe the class meets off-site. Whoops, maybe there's field trips. Maybe, you know, lab time. There's so many variables, and we try to put these blanket statements on these things with one definition. So when you look at some of the basics, the basics of Eureka City Schools, you got enrollment, you got graduation rate, you've got truancy, you got funding. Do those definitions change for you as the year goes on?
Well, absolutely. They change as the year goes on. They change as the decade goes on. They're changing all the time. In fact, there's two big numbers that we track very closely. One of those numbers is enrollment, and one of those numbers is attendance. And those are two very different numbers, because enrollment are actually people that are supposed to be coming to school, and our attendance rate are the number of actual, I call it, butts in seats, if you will, the number of students that are actually there on any given day. And as you get closer to holidays like Thanksgiving and Christmas, your attendance rate goes down. That is not the number that's been really been in the forefront for us most recently. The number that's been in the forefront for us most recently is actual true enrollment numbers. How many students do we have signed up to attend Eureka City Schools? It's been a declining number from our heyday when we were over 8,000 students to now. Last year, we're all the way down into the 3,600 range. And that's been a number that has declined every year for at least the last 10 years and probably even longer than that. So what we've been very concerned about that, because anytime you don't have students coming to school, you have to work with issues like we were talking about earlier of programs going away. The bigger our high school, the bigger our middle school, the more opportunities there are for that student to pick those classes to be well-rounded.
Now, it seems as if a bunch of the time when I'm out buzzing around, I'm seeing kids at traditional school hours wandering around Eureka. And I know there's alternative this charter that, and you know, there's some of those. You got the homeschools in the mix, and then you got those that just never show.
Well, none of those are Eureka City School students.
Well, they must be being bussed in from somewhere else then. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. I would be lying if I said that, yes.
So where do those kids fit into this? Are they not enrolled? Are they just blowing it off? Are they actually involved in some of these alternative ed programs that are out there that you were alluding to? And they're making those standards.
Unless I saw the individual kid, I couldn't tell you. But what I would venture to say is that we run on the high school level, if you're talking about that, any given day we run about, on average, 93% to 94% attendance. So in a school of 1,200 kids, you do the math really quickly, we've got, 84 kids that are out and about.
But they are enrolled.
Not in school. They are enrolled. They're just not a butt in the seat that particular day.
Are a lot of these kids that you see around not enrolled?
I certainly hope not, because that's actually a crime for them to not be enrolled. Parents have to enroll their children if their children are under the age of 18. It's compulsory attendance laws, and they have to do that. So if that's happening, the parents are breaking the law. And I'm not going to sit here and say that there are parents out there that aren't breaking the law. However, they are supposed to be enrolled and in seats and there. And if we hear students like that, we send our resource officer out to find out what's going on with these students. We send our resource officer out after habitual truant students. We have a school account, school attendance review board, SARB, that we're very active in trying to get kids in school, because let's face it, a teacher cannot teach an empty seat. And so students, children need to be in school.
There's not a lot of sassing going on.
This is true. This is true. But I would rather have the sassing and the learning going on at the same time. That's what we're in the business to do. We're in the business to teach, and we want to teach these kids.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:40. We'll be back with more from Fred Van Fleck.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:44. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Fred Van Fleck. Fred, the concept of graduation rate, is that a moving target? Do we know what the graduation rate is? I know it's rarely asked because it is something that is tough to follow.
Well, it is real tough to follow, and I guess I would ask the question is, you know, there's two graduation rates out there. There's a real graduation rate, and then there's a graduation rate that is advertised by the state. And the reason that those are two different things is because the graduation rate that is advertised by the state is tracking students from their freshman year to when they graduate as a senior. I would argue that the real graduation rate is how many students enter a California school, or any one of our schools in the nation for that matter, as a kindergarten student and never get a high school diploma. And there's numbers thrown all over the place, but I think the general consensus is that that number is close to 1 in 3 students do not get a high school diploma.
In America, in the state of initial residency?
In America, in the United States.
Because I'm thinking, you know, you got the military folks. Mm-hmm. Okay, if they get, you know, reassigned somewhere else, okay, the family goes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that kind of stuff happens.
But
not to that magnitude, certainly.
But we have a way to track that.
That's why I was wondering, because I've asked that question in the past to say graduation rate at Eureka High.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we don't know, because the state doesn't track if a kid moves from here or the family moves from here in their freshman year. Maybe you know if they stayed in the state. Maybe you don't. If they go out of the state, and it becomes very convoluted, at least that's what the response was.
Well, I'll give you the lowdown on how we track in high school, and then I'll circle back around and talk a little bit about how the system is moving to track those students all the way from kinder through high school. So right now, currently, and we've done it this way for several years, is we track a student by if a high school student moves and no school requests their records to be forwarded to, that student goes into what's called a dead file. And if that student remains into a dead file and we do our due diligence to find out where that student went, and if we cannot figure out a school that student went, then that student automatically becomes one of our dropouts. And so that's where
which would be a logical conclusion of that process.
Right, because they can't continue on in high school and move to Los Angeles or wherever it is they're moving without their credits that they had here. They need to get those credits in their history so they can continue on in school and not repeat all of those courses. So that's how the state right now, and how we, just like every other high school in the state, tracks our dropouts. But however, that doesn't reach back into those younger grades. How many students dropped out before they got to high school? And that's that number that they thought is in that 1 in 3 range dropping out, because the high school numbers were up in all around Humboldt County, that 95-96% of our students that enter the high school.
Freshman to senior?
Correct.
What if someone moves, let's say, to Tahoe, so they're out of state, or goes, you know, to Brookings? Does that tracking still follow the kid because of the school requesting the information?
It does. Exactly like that. Because the school requests the information, we forward it on to them, and then we can mark that student as no longer attends a Eureka City school, but now attends Brookings, or now attends Las Vegas, or wherever it is that they move to.
So if that happened, and once they graduate, do you count that as a graduate in your freshman to senior year, or are you just looking at numbers of freshmen, numbers of seniors, divide it through?
Pretty much.
And that's the rate.
We count. If that student leaves us, he or she is no longer one of the people that we look at as a graduate or not a graduate. They're not part of our statistics at all, other than they're not a dropout. We track the number of students that left our system and had no place for them to go.
So what hypothesis... Yeah, it's about the only word out of geometry I remember, other than 3-4-5 triangle. So what hypothesis...
Do you remember the theorem that goes with the 3-4-5, though?
Oh, you mean how you apply it?
Yeah, Pythagorean's theorem.
Yeah, you got a 3, you got a 4, and the cross is a 5. Yeah, that's how you have right straight angle. Decks.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That's about the only application I have.
But it's Pythagorean's theorem.
Oh, wow.
There
okay.
you go.
Greek guy. Yeah. Fine. What thought is there about that one-third? Where do they go? What happens to them? Because you got to believe that there's not one-third of the student population in any state that doesn't have a high school degree. And that's kind of what it says.
Yes, it is what it says. And you have to remember, many of those students go back and get a high school diploma and it through adult education. We've all noticed the problems that we have out on the streets here in Eureka. And I'd be willing to venture a bet that many of those folks do not have a high school diploma that are out on the street.
100 kids this year that should be graduating from Eureka High won't because they're not in?
Remember, it's not 100 kids that should be graduating
roughly,
from Eureka High School.
Oh, that's
school,
right. It's back to kindergarten.
Right.
And that's now at how much?
In kindergarten?
Yeah.
Roughly 300, 350.
Well, okay, so, we're right back to the same number, smart guy.
So it is, yeah, so technically it is about 100 kids a year. Where do they go? Nobody knows. I couldn't tell you. Nobody knows. That's the big mystery. Many of the kids, like for instance, a kid that moves to California, we have a high Hispanic population here in California, and then moves back to Mexico, that's one of those kids.
Sure, that one would be illogical, mm-hmm. But a third is a big chunk.
It is. It is.
I guess fodder for next discussion.
Yes.
And I'll be able to remember how to divide 300 by a third yet again. We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Fred Van Fleck. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.
Yeah, but I know Pythagorean's theorem.
Yeah.